I speak to you in the name of God. Amen. I thought she would never grow old, my mama. During all the years of my growing up, long into adult life, she was a constant presence. She never seemed to age, never complained about aches and pains, always wrote cards and notes in her unmistakable handwriting, smooth and even with lovely curves and legible letters. For many years, before I knew about women coloring their hair, her hair even stayed dark, like it had always been. A smart, kind young woman from Hawthorne, Florida, who went to college at Florida Southern, only because a young Methodist preacher saw her potential and intervened to get her a scholarship, she went on to live a life rich in blessings, if not in money. And I thought she would never get old. But when we came to Tampa in 2003 for our younger son John's graduation from the University of South Florida and drove into the parking lot of the Sun Dome, my parents were already there, out of their van, enjoying the sun and breeze before the crowds really converged. My father sat in a wheelchair because of trouble with one leg, and my mother hovered around him, trying to get the chair to work. Her hug was the same as always, but now her back felt more frail. Her smile was just as loving, but it came from a face now more lined with aches and pains. And her hair was finally gray, almost white, as she moved slowly, and both parents seemed more inside themselves than ever before. Someone once said that we sorrow so when our mothers die, because they, alone of all people, knew us before we were born. Before we suffered the glorious indignity of being thrust into this world, torn from the warm and safe place we have known for months, into a place where we get hungry, we cry, we discover our toes and fingers, and we quickly to know the one who carried us. In that pre-time, a bond is formed that lasts a lifetime. And who can reveal the mystery of that watery incubation and the reasons we sometimes leap in the womb? I remember my delighted amazement when my wife showed me her stomach jumping and moving around when she was pregnant with our sons. I could feel the kicks from outside. And she could never quite explain how it felt to be kicked and jostled from within. She was convinced that the little one within, in those days we would not know ahead of time whether we were awaiting a boy or a girl, but the little one within, my wife was convinced, responded to things happening on this side of birth. When loud noises would sound, the kicking would start. When the choir would sing in church, her stomach would start moving. Nothing much can have changed in recent history. Womb life must be about the same now as in olden days. And Luke has figured out that he can capture our attention by taking us back to the womb-leaping, stomach-wiggling, life-stirring stage of the story. And typical of Luke, he tells the story of this hill country meeting of mothers-to-be in such a fashion that we are present at the dawn of a new age. Elizabeth is no longer able to have children, she thinks. Mary is not properly married yet. They are relatives, but ever so different. Elizabeth is married to a priest, a pillar of the world. Mary is a young woman from a small town. People might have spoken of Elizabeth as no longer a woman, and of Mary as not yet a woman. But both of them are strangely outcast from society, and they found each other. They found each other, and they made comforting companionship for the last stretch of their terms, caring for each other when no one else would. It does not surprise me at all to hear that when Mary entered Elizabeth's house and hailed her relative, Elizabeth's child in the womb leaped for joy. Must have picked up the delight in Mary's voice. the excitement in the air, the joy within his mother's body. And so he leapt in joy. Now you can imagine a little cluster of ballet kicks, or a little womb time breakdance, or a future karate champion. But he kicked and kicked and leaped for joy. What do you suppose Elizabeth wondered when she felt those joyful leaps? My wife used to call our second son her little kicker. And since he became a drummer, I think he was practicing from the beginning. What hopes and longings do you think Elizabeth harbored and nurtured for this child, so long awaited and so eagerly carried? Could she have known that he would wander off into the desert and reappear by the river to draw people to the water of baptism? Could she have known that his unrelenting integrity and witness would one day get him killed? Since she was so old at his birth, I have always believed that John the Baptist, the child within her, who leapt in her womb, I've always believed that John must have suffered the death of his mother before his own death. And he must have sorrowed at the going away of the one who knew him when he was leaping in her womb and who carried him safely into this world. Mary was a young mother who would outlive her son. So Jesus would never know the sadness of grasping a frail and aged mother, or struggle to understand how the one who gave him life and steadied his young steps could grow so old. Maybe in that he was fortunate, for I was not ready for my mama to be so old. And it was just 3 years ago that I had to let go of the one who knew me before I was born. When I was dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in Buffalo, we hosted a local society sponsored by the Templeton Foundation, a discussion group on science and religion. One year, we had as a guest speaker, who was a professor of Old Testament at the Methodist Theological Seminary in Ohio, and a frequent participant in scholarly discussions about the theory of evolution and theology. Toward the end of his presentation, this man said that when all is said and done, there's more mystery than dogma. And sometimes scientists and theologians alike must just stand in awe of the strange and profound wonders of creation. He reported on an experiment. He told about an experiment in which heart cells from two different species are placed in petri dishes next to each other. No matter how different their beat rhythm is to begin, over time, they always reach a point of beating together. Heart cells, different species. Surely the child within Elizabeth and the child within Mary could recognize each other. And leaping for joy seemed such a small enough gesture to celebrate such recognition. If you listen carefully, you may hear the heartbeat of God's salvation.